Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Christy Snyder. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Christy Snyder, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, where you may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Chris McSanick. Chris has been working with host session managers since 1990 in both support and development capacities. He's spoken frequently at conferences describing how the technology can be leveraged to facilitate application automation and integration. Today's topic is exploiting session management for application development and integration. It will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site or by going to any IBM.com site and typing 700-7422 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chris. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, and hello to everyone on the call and listening to the replay. As Christy said, the session is all about exploiting session managers. And for the next 35 minutes or so, I'm going to discuss how you can leverage the technology inherent in your VTM session manager. Slide 2, please. Today I'll begin with an overview of traditional session manager use and share with you the current IBM solutions. I'll discuss application integration, application automation, and application development using, as an example, IBM CL Super Session technology. I'll conclude with some references for additional information, and we'll have some time set aside for questions and answers. Slide 3, please. The fundamental attribute of a session manager is its ability to act as a portal to applications and resources on the host. From a single connection point or logon, the session manager can then maintain multiple sessions for a user, permitting access to only those for which the user has authorization and interest. Because the entire organization makes use of this mission-critical session manager, it's a convenient focal point to support advanced features like messaging, group administration, conferencing, and various auditing tasks. The session manager provides more than just one-stop shopping. It provides session resilience, that is, the so-called session persistence, which allows application sessions to remain intact across terminal disconnects, line drops, session stealing, things like that. Most session managers also perform data stream compression. Those are the core functions of a session manager. Slide 5, please. We've discussed the core functions of a session manager, that is, to act as a host portal and maintain multiple applications. But a session manager is capable of much more. With its powerful function set, users can automate application operations, put a new face on an old green screen application, or develop an altogether new standalone application. Slide number 6, please. While it's true that there are many ways to accomplish automated application interaction, I found that host-centric solutions tend to be more scalable, more secure, more resilient, and easier to maintain than other implementations. For instance, the first wave of users who more than a decade ago believed session manager technology was rendered irrelevant with 3270 emulators, these users found that the efforts to manage distributed scripts was intractable, not to mention a security nightmare. Further, an emulator-only session session manager solution lacked necessary session persistence. That is, users still needed to log on to host sessions again after a workstation reboot or LAN outage, losing whatever work was in progress. In much the same way, for users today who assert that Calliope or emulator macros can substitute for host-based application integration, again, while a simple solution may be adequate for a single workstation, for an enterprise-wide implementation, you might want to consider the following. Does a workstation-based solution, is it scalable across hundreds or thousands of workstations? Are emulator script changes, for instance, easily distributed across an enterprise? Can emulator solutions hook into host automation if they have to, for instance? Is an emulator-based user solution, is that secure? Are hard-coded user IDs or passwords required in a local script? Is confidential information flowing unnecessarily across local networks? Things, that sort of thing. You might also want to consider the impact a workstation-based solution might have on corporate bandwidth. But in a nutshell, I believe that host-centric integration solutions are still an imperative. Slide number 7, please. The technology can maintain multiple sessions for a user, and it can keep those sessions hidden and in the background. Using the Session Manager's GUI tools, an alternate composite interface can represent the hidden legacy green screen displays. This is a fundamental operation behind what we call application integration. We'll see an example of that in just a second. Enhancing or even localizing with alternate interface language translations is just one way you can exploit Session Manager technology. Because application sessions are maintained by the Session Manager on behalf of a user, it's the session manager and not the actual user in control of those sessions. The session manager, of course, relays user requests like typing text into an input field or pressing an 8 key. But users can also instruct the session manager to play a script to automate their interaction with an application. Obvious candidates for automation are things like application logons and clean logoffs. But users have exploited this functionality to partially or completely automate session interaction. For instance, a trigger might populate an application input field with data from a table or text that is screen scraped from a different underlying session. Further, a user command could start a session, type a system or application command, something like that, interrogate the response from that command, and then perform some sort of task based on that response. Slide number 8, please.
And while the screen's painting, I'd just like to remind everyone that if you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007422 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. Thank you.
Thanks, Christy. This is also a good time to point out that the quality of the display that you're seeing right now may be affected by your screen resolution. There's a view option, and you can choose to either fit the display into your window or not do that. And some of the types that may seem pretty small, you may prefer not to scale it down. In any event, what we see here is the stereotypical view of application integration. On the left are three so-called green screens. In this example, they represent credit authorization, order entry, and inventory applications. Up until session managers enabled integration, users had to connect to multiple applications with multiple terminals or toggle between emulator windows. But because the session manager can maintain these sessions under the covers, a more integrated and efficient interface can be introduced with relatively little effort. For some organizations, application development is also easier using session manager tools than employing traditional methods because of the availability or scarcity of legacy organizational resources. Slide number 9, please. Moving beyond basic screen scraping, robust session managers like CL SuperSession with their suite of functions can facilitate standalone application development. Without an underlying virtual session even, quickly develop new applications can, for example, access host RACF protected resources and use only session manager features like tables, action bars, or other presentation manager tools. Slide 10, please. For instance, a customer can easily develop a host instant messaging application that users can access either by doing a log on Apple ID or selecting an option from the main SuperSession menu. Another application example, perhaps a file browser, would give users who have no need to access the application itself, but the browser could give users access to host data. For example, letting them from the main menu browse a PDF on a host system somewhere. A 3270 camera sort of application could record host application navigation for later playback for tutorials or perhaps for auditing purposes to record activity that a user performed while online. And because user-developed routines can be dispatched on intervals or at specific times, a session manager like CL SuperSession can be used to schedule tasks. Let's look at a sample standalone session manager application. Again, we're using CL SuperSession technology as an example here. Slide 11, please. I realize that some of these screens take a bit of time to paint, so I'm... This application that we're looking at now is a good example of the functionality available to users. Let's talk for a moment about the technology behind it. The application here itself is called a dialogue application. A dialogue application can be attached to an ACB as what we call an entry point dialogue, which means that when a user does a log on Apple ID, this dialogue is displayed and in control of that session. This is how users access the SuperSession interface itself. Another way to execute a dialogue is to invoke it from the main menu. Here you see a standalone application which uses pop-up windows and pull-down menus. The data in this example is maintained in a table, but it can easily be accessed from or saved to many other places. Notice that we have a clean and attractive interface with clean lines and boxes. If the device or log mode does not support the necessary characters to do this, the pop-up border and other lines would be replaced with dashes and vertical bars. Also note the use of several display attributes. There are protected and unprotected fields of several colors here. These fields are specified in the dialog's attribute section, which we'll see shortly. Dialogs can also execute commands. They can synchronously or asynchronously invoke other dialogs. They can call subsections, or they can just exit if they need to back to VPAM or to the calling dialog. Let's have a look at the session manager's language. You'll find it very intuitive. Slide 12, please. Session managers generally have their own specific scripting language. The language of CL SuperSession is called SSPL. SSPL provides an interface to base services like the tables manager, presentation manager, LU0 functions, or any function, in fact, that a customer chooses to write in assembler. Like the rest of the product, SSPL is efficient. It is compiled, not simply interpreted. It can be compiled on demand, that is, the first time it is referenced, the code will force a compile, or it can be pre-compiled at address space startup. SSPL changes made during the life of the address space don't require an outage. The code can be refreshed dynamically. Because CL SuperSession provides a robust integration, automation, and development environment, it also includes serious development tools like flow and statement trace, as well as breakpoint processing. Slide 13, please. There are many types of dialogue functions available to users. Presentation space manager functions. These permit line or box drawings. Virtual session functions provide access to the virtual sessions themselves. For instance, With these functions, you can screen scrape an underlying session or programmatically type into its buffer. Table functions allow you to create or navigate a product table. Most applications use tables to maintain persistent data. Action bar functions provide enhanced GUI functionality for users. File functions allow access to PDFs, sequential, or vSAN files. Robust functionality included with SSPL includes program control functions, which allow you to attach dialogues synchronously or asynchronously from other dialogues or invoke them from MVS. Dialog manager functions include, among other things, operations that let you perform arithmetic or string manipulation on variables. They also permit you to pass and examine parameters. A dialog may also invoke a product command or an MVS or VTAM command. Other functions give you access to the internal reader, the LU0 interface, network accounting, or SMS, security interface, as well as IPC queues, user-written functions, and command executions. Slide 15, please. I'm sorry, slide 15. Here's a sample function set. This one is for the PSM functions. PSM functions are used to search, navigate, query, or update a user's presentation space. They also facilitate auto-update. We won't spend a lot of time on these or the next page, but this gives you an idea of the richness of functions available in the product. There are many other function sets as well. All of them are documented in the various manuals which you can find on the product support pages. Slide 16, please. Here are the rest of the PSM functions. With import-export, for instance, you can save an entire screen into a variable and attach it to a message or save it in a table. What you can do with these functions is limited only by your organization's needs and your imagination. Slide 17. We've talked a lot about the session manager's control language. Let's take a quick look at it. What we see here is the SSPL structure. A dialog itself is composed of sections. Some sections, like initialization, prologue, body, epilogue, termination, these you see here, and these control program function, flow, and control. Slide 18, please. Other functions, like those you see here, perform routine housekeeping tasks. Slide 19, please. Here's a sample dialog to automate a TSO logon. You don't need to strain your eyes just now. I'll describe most of what you see. From the Session Manager main menu, a user would just need to cursor select a particular session, and an initial dialog, much like this one, completes the logon process on behalf of the user. Observe the intuitive flow. The dialog searches the screen for the specified text, types the values, presses the Enter key, etc. Also note here that the password is maintained in an encrypted variable. CL Supersession also supports things like pass ticket, as well as mixed case passwords. Alternately, this dialog can invoke another dialog, which might present a pop-up for the user to complete if the product was configured to not store passwords. When the sample exits, the user will have been logged on a TSO, and the TSO screen would have been presented to the user at the ready prompt. There are other implementations as well. A user may choose to present a pleasant GUI display of broadcast messages, perhaps with a reply option. Again, your implementation can be quite flexible. Slide 20, please. Here's another SSPL dialog. We'll study it closer in the next few slides. So again, don't worry about the font size right now. This sample will use a presentation space, so it will be invoked from the session manager interface. If it were executed from an MVS modify command, there would be no place for it to display its pop-up. There are ways, of course, for a dialog to test how it is being invoked, and in this case, it might want to replace the pop-up call with some WTOs. We're not going to get into that just now, but it is possible. Let's take a closer look at this dialog now, which, by the way, will allow you to dynamically refresh a dialog that has been modified. You might invoke a routine like this from the main menu. Slide 21, please. Here you see some typical housekeeping in a dialog. Worth noting here, the declare section names some variables as local, which would be used only by this dialog. One variable here is declared as session. The session variable is available to all dialogs in the user session. Product session variables are typically initialized when a user logs on, and these maintain preferences or NLS character strings. This one contains the user preference to display the panel ID in pop-up windows. Other variable types that can be specified include shared and system types. Variables are stored in pools. Slide 22, please. The initialization section contains code that is executed when this dialog is first called. The init section executes only once, and then control drops through to the next section. In this sample init, you see some text operations. String variables are being examined, conditionally set to various values, things like that. The init logic here also allows for a parameter. If one was passed on the invocation, this section will perform an initial refresh operation before displaying the subsequent pop-up. Let's look at the next section now. Slide 23, please. Here we see the prologue and the attribute sections. The prologue is executed after the init. In this sample dialog, the prologue has just one function, and that is to conditionally set the message variable. Basically, what we do here is we alert the user if the input field is empty. The attribute section defines characters that appear in the body as attributes. For example, here we are defining the asterisk to indicate the start of a protected field that will display yellow text. The question mark and underscore define input fields, one green, the other yellow, and underscored. There are two ways to define a presentation space. One way is done dynamically using PSM functions. The other uses a body section and attributes. Let's look at how the body section defines a presentation space. Slide 24, please. Here are the last two sections in our sample dialog, and a screen print of the resulting pop-up. The body section defines, line for line, what the resulting pop-up will look like. There are other body options, but we'll keep this example simple. Because we have a modifiable field in our body, execution will halt at this display until the user presses an aid key. When an aid key is pressed, execution continues to the epilogue. In this example, we examine the special variable sys_key, which contains the value of the aid key that drove this epilogue. The logic that we use here says that if the variable is PF12, then we'll go ahead and exit, and we'll return control to the caller. Otherwise, we continue processing. If the PF1 code was entered, if the PF1 code that we have specified here was enabled, it's commented out right now, but if we had it enabled, we would execute a help pop-up. We next test to see if there's a null value in the variable. The exclamation point is the equivalent of not or false. If the variable DLG resolves to null, then we redrive the prolog that we looked at earlier using the reshell. Because DLG is null, the prolog code we saw just a little bit ago will set the variable to a string that says enter a dialog name, and then we'll drop back through to the body, which basically has the net effect of updating the message line so that the user can see that there was some sort of condition. Again, processing would halt, waiting for the user to press an aid key, and we'd come back to the epilogue. If we made it past that point in the code, we have a value in the variable, so we'll pass that value to the refresh function, and we set the variable message to whatever the result of that function is. Then again, we loop back to the prologue using reshow so that the next body display reports whether or not the panel refresh was successful. Slide 25, please. There are many ways to execute a CL Super Session dialog. I won't elaborate on all the ways, but some of the common methods, as I've mentioned, include you can attach a dialog to an ACB so that when a user does a log on Apple ID, the dialog gets controlled. This is known, again, as a network entry point dialog. You can also execute a dialog from a trigger within a virtual session. This is a common way to facilitate automation. A dialog can also be executed from the MVS modify command. Finally, a dialog can also get control from user inactivity. In other words, if the user is inactive for a predetermined amount of time, a dialog can get control to present a lock panel or time out the user and log them off, that sort of thing. Slide 26, please. Let's put together some of the concepts we've talked about and discuss the processing behind some of the more complex dialog applications. Here's a typical session manager main menu. From here, available host sessions can be launched and various session manager functions can be accessed. From this interface, we can execute a brand new dialog application. Let's take a look at that. Slide 27, please. On this slide, we demonstrate some of the hallmarks of host session management. The green screen is long gone. It's replaced with a workstation containing a default action bar and GUI, in this case, it's a GUI progress bar as well. The progress bar is actually a pop-up window that exploits the auto-refresh capabilities of CL Super Session. The bar itself is just a reverse white output field updated with the appropriate number of blank spaces every second. Because the product supports asynchronous process execution, multiple dialogs are actually executing concurrently here. In this case, our application is initializing along with the display of the progress bar. Slide 28, please. Once our sample application is initialized, you would see a display, if it's completed painting, you'd see a display something like this. This application makes use of many of the functions available that we've already discussed, including PSM draw functions, action bars, pull downs, things like that. Let's take a look at one final display. Slide 29, please. This last screenshot is another panel that might be displayed if a user made a different menu choice. Note the various fields and imagine what the dialog's attribute section might look like. This is a configure pull-down choice, and it's kind of an example of a table display. A body with a table option indicates it will be populated with data from a product display. Tables are the way most persistent data is stored. There are many table functions available to navigate within a display. Each row is also cursor selectable. When a row is cursor selected, the default operation, as defined in the epilogue, will occur. So, for instance, if we were to define one of these fields as cursor selectable and we moved our cursor to that field and pressed the Enter key, in the epilogue, we would have the indication of where the row was, what the values were, and we can perform an operation. For example, update a particular value, something along that line. Slide 30, please. So this concludes our basic high-level overview of session managers and different ways to exploit the technology. I've included some links here for the various IBM Session Manager product support pages that you can view for additional information. I've also referenced a few articles that you may find helpful. Most of these can be located using the search tools at the support site. Slide 31, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Slide 32, please. I'll now turn the call back over to our moderator.
Okay, thank you, Chris, and thank you for a great presentation. Right now, we would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the e-meeting. Your participation is greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Please enter 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Please enter 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? Please enter 1 for yes and 2 for no. Next, please provide us with comments to help improve future webcasts. And I'll just pause for a moment to allow everyone to answer. And finally, is there a topic you would like to see scheduled? And again, I'm just going to pause so everyone can provide their ideas, and we welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Glenn, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenter.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your phone. If you're on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 for any questions. And as a final reminder, star 1 if you have a question at this time. And we'll go to Brian Mann. Please go ahead.
Yes. Will the manuals be rewritten at any point in the future? Because a lot of them are still somewhat dependent on conversions from older releases, contain a lot of information along those lines.
Okay, Brian, I'm going to presume that you're referring to Steel Supersession manuals?
Yes.
Okay, great. Essentially the agreement that we typically had was that the manuals get recut on release boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
The manual set that's out there now is actually probably more current than it's given credit for because it's been updated several times since the initial release back in 94. Some of the manuals, though, have fallen a little bit out of sync. The documentation is all available, and most of it exists in either the PSP. Most of the documentation updates exist in either the PSP or on a DCS online. So I can't, and we can discuss this offline if you want through an email, for instance. But I can't say, for instance, that they will be recut. I would expect that. Again, the commitment has always been on release boundaries.
Okay. Any new releases planned?
Well, you know, the future plans are sort of difficult to comment on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's all right. Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
We'll go next to John Rosen.
Hello, all. Chris, in one of your slides, you presented that there was flat file access available. Was that I haven't seen that in CL Supersession. Is that for real? How do I find some doc on it?
Sure. Yeah. You certainly can. First of all, let me clarify what some of these things mean. Some of the features are broadly referenced in session manager offerings, and they're not all available in all session managers. But there are sequential file access functions in CL Supersession. And
right. I know about the PDS members, and I know about the ESDS, and I was just wondering, I saw the basically sequential file access there, and I was going, oh, really?
Sure. I can send you some doc on that offline if you want, but it's documented in the DLRM.
Okay. That would be cool. And is there any intention to include the high availability option as part of the default product?
You mean as an SPE down the road?
Yeah.
Again, it's difficult to comment on the future direction, but I would say if you ask me today, it's still in a custom installation add-on.
Okay. That's it from me.
John, those functions, you would be the SAM functions, the Sequential Access Manager functions?
Yeah.
I think that's what you're asking about, but we can get more detail. I can provide you some examples offline.
No problem.
Thank you.
Once again, star 1, if you do have a question, we'll go next to Bruce Marshall.
Hi. Yes, you mentioned the three host session managers that IBM supports. What are the sort of strengths and weaknesses or places of best fit of each of those?
Okay. That's a great question, actually. Probably, if you had asked me for a personal opinion, the strength of all of them is in the stability. Most customers have other responsibilities besides constantly installing and upgrading, things like that. So they like to hear that these products are stable. So I think one of the greatest strengths, you know, right out of the gate is the fact that IBM has made the statement that these products are supported and there's, you know, no end-of-life plan for them, that sort of thing. So that really needs to be said. And, again, the statement is also made that we don't recommend you switch between them, things like that. I think that when it comes down to it, if you had to talk about strengths and weaknesses, the IBM Session Manager product, for instance, has things like Telnet client support built in, so it can access sessions other than things that you need to do a, you know, log on Apple ID type thing. Super Session has certainly a lot of GUI functions, application integration, development development environment, multiple MVS TCBs, things like that, NLS support, which exists in the IBM Session Manager product as well. So I think that, you know, again, you have to sort of evaluate what your criteria is. But again, the key is that they're all supported. And I guess, Bruce, if you had any specific questions, we can, you know, deal with those offline based on, you know, the requirements that you might have.
Sure. No, I was just trying to distinguish between them. Like, we've had CL Super Session a long time, so I'm just trying to get more familiar with IBM Session Manager and the Tivoli space, just to know what's out there. I get questions here about them as well.
So. Right. So, sure, if specific questions we can talk about offline.
Sure.
But in general, again, they're all supported and...
they all do basically a similar function.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, again, you know, the real issue came down to, for traditional session management, multi-session access, they all perform similar functions. And then depending on how you want to exploit beyond that,
right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah, for us, we have a legacy base there of codes. It's very difficult to imagine switching. But sometimes we do, you know, encounter other shops that we deal with or take over and have opportunities to do different things with them. So we just would want to review our tools before we did that with people. So.
Right, right. And you know, as I said, we can talk offline about some of these things.
Cool.
But I'm just trying to make some general statements.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
That's good.
And there are no other questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ms. Schneider for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. And at this time, we would like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thanks again, Chris, for presenting today.